May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 738. Jesus, how heavenly is the place where thy dear people wait for thee, where the rich fountain of thy grace stands ever open, full and free. Hymn 738.
Thank you. From the word of God we shall read this morning from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 55, and then the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 5. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knewest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon of our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labour, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance, and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we lust judge that if one died for all, then were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. May the Lord bless to us his word and help us in prayer. Most holy, almighty and gracious Lord God, do solemnize our hearts as we enter thy courts at the commencement of thy day. Lord, do now send down thy Holy Spirit from above upon us each, that we may worship thee aright, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the beauty of holiness. Thou hast said, Lord, that we must worship thee in spirit and in truth. Do send down now thy Holy Spirit upon us and lead us into thy truth. May we be delivered from our own spirits, from a worldly spirit, a carnal spirit, an unbelieving spirit, a fearful spirit. May we be blessed with thy Holy Spirit of truth. Lord, make us inner court worshippers this day. Leave us not to worship afar off. Leave us not to worship an unknown God, but Lord, may we be drawn by thy love and permitted, like one by faith, to come and touch the hem of thy garment. And may many souls prove this day that thou still hast a healing touch. Descend, descend, thou God of grace, thy healing love bestow. O send us not despairing home, send none unhealed away. Lord, if there are any of us who are totally and completely ignorant of the wounds that sin makes in the soul, do grant this day that touch of life, that touch of conviction, that spirit of the new birth put within, that a cry may go out where it's never gone before, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. where there are those, Lord, who are under conviction, weighed down and burdened and oppressed with guilt. Lord, do grant them that healing, delivering touch this day. Lead them to thy cross. Where there are those, Lord, who have known thy mercy in time past, but it seems many a long day, many a long year perhaps, since they sat at thy feet and learned of thee and were blessed. Lord, draw them back to thee this day. Lord, if there are any prodigals, grant that they may begin to be in want. If there are any, Lord, who are in want, show them the way back. Any, Lord, are longing to see thee. Those that came into this house saying we would see Jesus, Lord, may they not be disappointed. We pray, Lord, that we may see thy face by faith this day. We pray that thou would speak to our souls the words of eternal life. We pray that thou would apply thy holy and sacred word to each heart, each soul, each life. Leave us not untouched. If it could be thy sacred will, Lord, may none gathered before thee this day in thy courts here be left untouched. But may each receive something for their never dying soul. Grant direction, Lord, to those whose eyes are up unto thee, wondering which way to go. Grant correction to the when we wander and stray into the paths of sin and danger. And may thy hand be upon us, and thine eye be upon us for good. We pray, Lord, as we meet this day, we may meet sheltering under the precious blood of the Lamb. And may we prove, Lord, in a sacred sense, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not come nigh thy dwelling. Lord, put us beneath that precious blood this day. Grant that many souls may feel its healing effects. We do thank thee, Lord, for the mercies that bring us here once more. The mercies of the past week. Health and strength, food and raiment, earthly provisions granted. Lord, we do not deserve these things. Do help us to have truly thankful hearts for thy manifold mercies that thou dost display to us each day by day. And may some be able to praise thee for deeper mercies, for eternal mercies, spiritual mercies, which thou wilt never take away. We would thank thee, Lord, for the gift of a child to us at the one family here. We pray for our friends Jeremy and Hannah. We thank thee, Lord, for that life given and that life spared. We pray thy blessing to rest upon that family. May thy blessing rest upon that little life. May she be a child of God. May she be an heir of glory. May they be enabled, as all who are parents, Lord, to bring up children in thy fear and to set a right example. And grant, Lord, that we may be much prayer and exercise over our children, that they might prove to be thy children. But, Lord, we do thank thee for the gift of a child, what a precious gift it is. And we ask thy richest blessing and favour to rest upon them. We ask that thou art blessed and be with this church and people, to be with the deacons of this cause who have the responsibility upon their shoulders, to help them, Lord, as they seek to fill this pulpit with a living ministry, to grant them wisdom, discernment, grace. To bear the office of deacon well. To help them, Lord, in the choice of the hymns that we sing this day. And may they confirm what is preached. And Lord, may they be encouraged in their own souls. And know that thou art with them, watching over them and blessing them. Do remember the church that's planted here. We pray, Lord, that it may be blessed with life, with grace, with faith, with love. Lord, may they be blessed with thy presence. May they be sprinkled with thy precious blood. May they be an exercised, prayerful, united church. May it be a prosperous corner of thy vineyard. Do add to them in church fellowship such as shall be eternally saved. Remember, Lord, those who are in elderly years, who feel the burden of life, the shadows of life lengthening out, strength declining, which they know they will not get back. Help them, Lord, to look unto thee. Give them all needed patience and perseverance. Give them grace to bear fruit in old age. And may they have often a touch from thy own precious word. Thou art with them and will carry them through to the end of the journey and land them safe in glory. Remember, Lord, those who are younger in years, those, Lord, who have to face life as it is to the world in all its hostility and all its temptations. Lord, do hold thy people tight when they're in the world. Help them to set a right example to others. Lord, may we be kept from following the multitude to do evil. Lord, may we be kept in word. May we be kept in deed, may we be kept in thought. And Lord, may it be evident to others that we've been with Jesus, that there is a difference. Lord, do the world see a difference in us? Lord, if they don't, do make that difference. May thy people, Lord, be enabled not to be afraid or ashamed, where necessary to stand for the truth. And may we be helped in that consistent, upright walk before others. Do bless the children and young people. Grant them, Lord, thy help and thy blessing in school life, college life, university life. Do provide godly partners in life. Do grant direction to those who need employment, that they may know what way thou would have them to go. Be with any this week, Lord, who have mountains before them. Lord, may they see those mountains flow down at thy presence. Lord, may they be enabled to lay them before thee and then watch thee work. Shut doors, Lord, which are not of thy blessing or approval, which will be harmful. Open doors that are. And grant, Lord, the wisdom to know which door to go through and which door to turn from. Lord, be with any in disappointment, discouragement, desolation, any who may feel to be at their wit's end. Lord, grant them thy help and grace. Lord, give them a sight this day of a suffering Saviour. And may they be enabled to consider thee, that bore such contradiction of sinners against himself. Be with any, Lord, who are sick and afflicted, raise them up again. We thank thee for that measure of restoring health granted to one here who has walked much the pathway of affliction. Do grant those continued restoring mercies to him. And Lord, do sanctify life's pathway to us each, our joys, our sorrows, our health and our weaknesses. Do bless Zion this day. Grant, Lord, that the spiritual Jews may have a good day in thy courts. Stand by thy servants as they proclaim thy holy word of truth. Grant strength, grant wisdom, grant discernment, grant thy blessed and holy spirit. Lord, do fill an empty vessel now with good things. We are totally dependent upon thee. Do send down thy Holy Spirit and grant the power, the unction, the authority and the life. And may we lose sight of each other and see no man but Jesus only with ourselves. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 750. Come, ye that know and fear the Lord, and lift your souls above. Let every heart and voice accord to sing that God is love. Hymn 750.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct your thoughts this morning to the book of Judges, chapter 3, and a few words you'll find in verse 20. The book of the Judges, the third chapter, and a part of verse 20. I have a message from God unto thee. I have a message from God unto thee. The whole verse reads, and Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlour, which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he arose out of his seat. The background to our text this morning is most solemn. Eglon, who was the king of Moab, an ungodly man, an enemy of the truth, had for 18 years ruled over the children of Israel because of their sins and evil in the sight of God. We're not told anything about his reign over them. But it would appear from verse 15 that it was an oppressive reign. This man had no love to God, and he had no love to the children of God. For 18 long years, the children of Israel were forced to serve this ungodly king because of their sin, because of their waywardness, their rebellion against Almighty God. They proved that painful lesson. Sin is a reproach to any people, and so it is. It's a reproach to individuals, and it's a reproach to a land. When we see the judgments of God abroad in our land, and in other lands, we can realize it's on account of our sin. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer. It would appear, reading verse 15, that for 18 years they had not cried for deliverance. We do not know if that is so or not. But it is evident that after 18 years the Lord put a spirit of prayer in them. Wrestling prayer, earnest prayer, that the Lord would deliver them from this ungodly king. When the children of Israel cried unto the Lord and not before, the Lord raised them up a deliverer. This man Ehud, who was a Benjamite, a man left-handed, and some godly scholars believe that he was a man who couldn't use his right hand. For one reason or another, he was disabled and useless with his right hand. He was such a man that God had raised up to deliver Israel. God may be raising you up to a task. And you feel to be totally insufficient for it. Friends, you'll prove, as Ehud proved, your sufficiency is of God. And by this man, the children of Israel send a present down unto Eglon, the king of Moab. We're not told why they sent it. Perhaps they were anxious to appease him. Keep on his right side. And they send this present by this man Ehud. But Ehud made him a dagger which had two edges of a cubit length. And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab. And Eglon was a very fat man. A man who ate and drank to excess. A typical worldly king, we might say. When the present has been made and the people are sent away, this man Ehud turns again and tells the king he has a secret message, secret errand. And when they are alone, Ehud says, I have a message from God unto thee. And Eglon arises out of his seat. He showed natural respect and reverence. We're not told what went through his mind. But friends, I'm sure he didn't realize that this message was a summons to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Ehud puts forth his left hand and takes a dagger and thrusts it into Eglon's belly. He falls down dead. See, friends, how God raised up this man to deliver Israel from their enemies. Moab was subdued that day and the land had rest for 80 years. That's 80 years. When God's judgments have done their work, he will remove them. And not until they have done their work. I have a message from God unto thee. That then is the context. But now I want to leave the context and come to how this may affect us. I have a message from God unto thee. Do you know who this God is? Is he a stranger to you? Or have you proved him to be your good shepherd? You proved him to be your saviour. You proved him to be your friend. This God, friends, is the one who created you and I out of nothing. This God is one who created the world and all that therein is. You can read about it in the early chapters of Genesis. This is a God to whom you and I are accountable to, whether we know it or not. And this is a God which you and I must have dealings with, and we will have dealings with, either in judgment or in mercy. I have a message from God unto thee. What do you know then of this God? Have you been taught he's a holy God? He's a righteous God. He's a sin-hating God. A God that will not wink, excuse, or compromise with our sin. A God that will deal with sin wherever he sees it. This almighty God, friends, is so holy, so pure, so righteous. That no sin can stand before his presence. The Apostle Paul said, our God is a consuming fire. And so he is outside of Christ. I have a message from God unto thee. A personal message. This message was particular and special to an ungodly man. Maybe you think that God does not notice the way you live your life. Friends, one day in judgment or in mercy, you'll prove that God has a message for you too. And it's a message you'll either be taught this side of the grave, or it's a message you'll have to learn in eternal despair and a never-ending eternity to come. And what is that message? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. God spoken such words to you? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Apostle Paul takes it up in another language. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after death the judgment. And you can't escape that appointment. You can't put it off. You can't get round it. It is appointed to you, and it is appointed unto me once to die. And not everybody dies in old age. Some die early in life. Some, like this ungodly king, are given little or no warning whatsoever. With others, it's more gradual, more slow, more prolonged. But the point is, friends, it is appointed unto men once to die. And when God ordains that appointment for you and for I, we will come before him. Whether we had any thoughts of death or not, whether we were in sickness or in health or not, whether we were ready or not to die. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after death, the judgment. And at that moment of death, friends, how will it be? How stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear. Is Jesus' blood thine only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? When you and I come to die, we will not be able to take with us our worldly possessions. We'll leave that behind. You won't be able to take with you a healthy bank balance. It will be worthless. You won't be able to take a good reputation that you had before men. You won't be able to take your family. You won't be able to take your natural religion with you either. All has to be left behind forever. But friends, there's one thing you will take with you. When your soul passes from this time state to stand before God's judgment throne, you'll either take your sin with you, or you'll take blood brought pardon. Now how stands the case with us today? If we were called to stand this day before God's judgment seat, as we surely will one day, how would we stand? Would we stand in our sin and shame and nakedness, lost, perished, ruined? Or or would we stand in the righteousness and blood of another? We read in Corinthians, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, what he hath done according to whether it be good or bad. He must give an account before God of how we have lived. We must give an account before God of how we have worshipped in his house this day. He knows your thoughts and mine, whether we are truly worshipping, whether our minds are fixed on other things of this time state. We must give an account of each sin that we've committed. And friends, you won't be called to give an account of someone else's sins, someone else's failings, someone else's shortcomings. Some people seem to think that they can get to heaven on the backs of other people's sins, but no. It's your sin that you will be brought to an account for. And what kind of an account will you and I have to give? It is appointed unto men once to die, and after death the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Those who are brought to flee to refuge in this precious Christ. Those who are taught here below of their sinnership and are taught that there is a Saviour. When they come to stand before that throne, we'll find that there's one gone before, a mediator, an advocate, a high priest who's paid the account for them, who's given an account on behalf of his people. One who paid all charges, then and for the time to come. So Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many. Doesn't say he bared the sin of any. Nowhere in Scripture do we have warrant to believe that Christ died for all men. Don't presume it, friend. Don't presume just because you're sitting in chapel this morning that Christ died for you. It's not a good enough refuge. But equally, friends, it doesn't say that Christ died for few. Christ died for many. He died for a particular number, whose names are found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And is your name found there? Do you desire it to be found there? Is it your daily exercise and prayer? Jesus, reveal thyself to me. I have a message from God unto thee. That soul in the day of the new birth trembles under this message that he's a sinner. Do you know what it is to be weighed in God's balances and found wanting? It's a mercy, friends, if we're led to feel we're found wanting in this life, rather than go through life at ease, at peace with ourselves, thinking that all will be well in the end, and then finding ourselves to be eternally wanting. Have you received this message of conviction in your heart? You don't need anyone else to tell you you're a sinner, do you? Because God Almighty has told you by his Holy Spirit. Has he brought back sins that you've forgotten, committed many years ago, which you found that he has not forgotten? Do you see crimson sins, scarlet sins, sins that stand out in their wickedness? Sins that you cannot cover with your own righteousness. Does the prayer of the hymn writer suit you? Nothing in myself I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. Friends, if that is your prayer this morning, if all your religion can be summed up in that one verse, then take courage, because you're being taught by God's grace. He's arising for your deliverance. He's preparing your soul to receive a pardon that's full, that's free, and that's forever. He killeth, but those he kills, he'll surely make alive. He wounds, and the wounds that sin has made are deep, are they not? But those whom he has wounded, he will heal. I have a message from God unto thee. There is righteousness. There is peace, there's redemption, there's safety found in no other place but in the precious blood and righteousness of Christ. Your own righteousness will not stand before God, because it is not a perfect righteousness. It's not a holy righteousness. It's not a pure righteousness. You can't plead your own name before the court of heaven, can you? I have a message from God unto thee. But then, friends, there's this message of pardon. There's this message of pardon which God, in his own good time and way, will bring to each confessing sinner, each one who is burdened, weighed down, oppressed under their sinnership, pleading to God for mercy, for pardon, for righteousness, for his name's sake. And what is it? It's the message, friends, that the angels gave to those shepherds. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Unto you. And what you need, poor trembling sinner, this morning, is for that Saviour to be born in your heart, for that salvation to come to you personally. And when the time comes for the Lord to give you that voice of pardon, when it comes to you personally, as it will, you'll know the peace and love of God in your heart that passes all understanding. You'll know what it is, as we sang in our first hymn, to live while we behold him die. Unto you, therefore, which believe he is precious. What a precious, needful thing this Saviour is. Unto you is born. What has he been born in your soul? Has a longing been put into your heart for Christ to come and take possession? For the Lord Jesus to reveal himself to you as your Saviour, as your Redeemer, as your Mediator and Advocate. If any man sin, we have an Advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. An advocate, friends, is one that takes the cause of another in a court of law and pleads that cause. If this advocate pleads our cause, friends, we'll be eternally safe. And if he doesn't, we'll be eternally lost. You can't plead your own cause before that throne of heaven. You can't plead for your defence that you were brought up as a strict Baptist, that you sat under the sound of the truth all your life. Good and right though it is, that we be found sitting under the sound of the truth. And so we should be. But we cannot plead that, because it's sin-stained. It's marred by sin. But we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. One who pleads his own name, one who pleads his own blood on behalf of his people. The Saviour died and by his blood brought rebel sinners back to God. He died to set the captive free. And say, my soul, why not for thee? Are you a captive this morning? Has Satan got you in his clutches? Does he accuse you? Are you condemned under a broken law? Well, friends, the Saviour has died, and he died to set the captives free. Take courage. but plead with this precious God that you may know that he died to set you free. We cannot rest in the knowledge that there is a Saviour, can we? We need to know that he's our Saviour, our Redeemer, our Lord. But all those who are given that longing, that hungering, that thirsting after Christ, will have that longing satisfied. I have a message from God unto thee. And what is it? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Whose blood? Not the blood of bulls and of goats. Not your blood, but the blood of the only begotten Son of God. He who came into our nature, took into union body and soul. He who lived that holy, spotless life on behalf of his people. He who kept the law in all its precepts, all its commandments, all its jots and tittles. And then he dies. And never man, friends, died like this man died. Child of God, he bore your curse away on Calvary's cross. The cost and the price of your pardon, of your peace, he bore. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Deep words. He was forsaken, child of God, because of your sin that you had committed, each and every one of them. He bore that agony, that wrath, that darkness, that vengeance of Almighty God against your sin, that you may never bear it in an eternity to come. And our justice cries, I am satisfied, now, henceforth, and ever. And with his stripes we are healed. And hear him cry, it is finished. And it's finished forever. Nothing needs to be added to it. Nothing will ever be taken from it. It's a finished work. It's completed. I have a message from God unto thee. And notice, friends, it doesn't say when you see the blood, I will pass over you. The promise was, when I see the blood, what a precious thought that is, because how often do we lose sight of the precious blood of the Lamb? How often do our sins and doubts and failings and wanderings seem to come between God and us and cast a shadow? And then we feel, because we've lost sight of it, that God's lost sight of it. God always looks on his people under the blood. even in their worst moments. In their days when regeneracy, he looked at them through that precious blood. He watched over them. He kept them from destroying themselves. He called them by the grace. And now he's taught you by his Holy Spirit. Peter, you know, was under the blood in the judgment hall when he denied his Lord with oaths and curses. Jonah was found under the blood when he was running away to Tarshish. David was found under the blood even when he fell. Because, friends, if any of those three had not been found under the blood, they would have perished eternally. Child of God, you may have lost sight of your pardon, but he hasn't lost sight of it. And there's safety beneath this precious blood of the Lamb. But may it be our prayer that the Lord would grant a fresh glimpse of it. And may it be our earnest prayer and desire that we may be kept walking close to the Lamb, that we may not be left to wander and fall and stray because the rebellious dwell in a dry land. I have a message from God unto thee. Yea. In spite of all your fears, in spite of all your doubts, in spite of all your sins, in spite of all your waywardness, in spite of all the roarings of the devil, in spite of all the tauntings of a hostile world, yea, I have loved thee. Personal, special, particular, sovereign. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Do you know something of this love of Christ in the heart? Bringing peace to your soul, bringing pardon, bringing righteousness, teaching you to find Christ precious and the things of this world as dung and dross. If he's ever given you one promise from his holy word, if he's ever given you one token of grace, he's ever given you one smile, it's because he loves you with an everlasting love. A love that in eternity past chose you in that election of grace. A love that will keep you in time from finally falling into condemnation. A love that will take you one day to himself. And then you'll prove to all eternity the breadth, length, depth and height of this amazing love. We only get glimpses of it and tastes of it here below. But friends, we must die to know in all its fullness the love of God in Christ Jesus. And his word shall stand, his truth prevail, and not one jot and tittle fail. What Christ has said must be fulfilled. Remember, friends, the words of Balaam, which he had to admit to his own shame and confusion, but what encouragement they should be for a child of God. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he commanded, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Friends, Satan cannot reverse one word of God to which he's given to you. One whisper is stronger than all the devil's might, all the unbelief, all the sin he causes you to commit. Then, friend, may you be enabled to trust him. May you be enabled to seek more after him. You may have more closer union and communion to him. And to know truly what it is to live while we behold him die. I have a message from God unto thee. And one day, you'll hear that message come up higher to worship in the beauty of holiness in his immediate presence. May the Lord bless his word to us.
Collections last Lord's Day were £706, and on Friday evening for the Trinitarian Bible Society, £400, for both of which we would be very thankful. God willing, Mr. Sayers will preach on Tuesday evening, and Dr. Sadler will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday School in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 535. Oh, the love of Christ to sinners, who can make its wonders known? Sin-born slaves through grace are winners of a bright celestial crown. Jesus gives us endless glory and renown. Hymn 535.
Do forgive, O Lord, all that thy pure and holy eyes have seen amiss in our worship this morning. Do be with us for the hours of this thy day. Watch over us. Gather us again around thy word this evening and grant thy presence with us. May that love fill our hearts this day, and may it hold us fast. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and sweet communion of God the Holy Spirit, abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.